This morning. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this Sunday school. I pray, Father, it'd be meaningful to each and every one of us. Help us, dear God, to understand this truth that we are going to take a look at in Psalm 51. Bless us, dear God, in our time here in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice Psalm 51. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, thy sinners, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of thy of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now, when you think about sin, you need to realize sin seduces us. You know what? Sin promises pleasure, does it not? But does it not in the end bring pain? Isn't there a verse in the Bible that says in Hebrews that, you know what, there's pleasure in sin for a what? Season, but that season is rather short-lived, and then it brings pain. All you have to do is ask an alcoholic, man, were you glad when you took that first drink? Man, how was it the first time you got drunk? How is it now? Are you glad that you did that? Every one of them would probably say, I wish I had never touched it to begin with. You know, sin saddens. And you see that here in Psalm 51. David is saddened for what he has done. You know what? It took away the spirit that he once had. He said he wants a new spirit. You know, sometimes Christian people look around, look like they, you know, droopy, and they're walking around with this heavy cloud hanging over their head. And the problem is they got sin in their life. They don't have the joy that they should have. Sin seduces. It also saddens, but it also separates us from God. And perhaps that's the saddest thing it does to any one of us. It separates us from sweet fellowship with the Lord. Now in Psalm 51 verse 4, David declared, notice this, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done evil, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Now, our sin is against who? It is against God. When believers sin, in order to be right with God, we have to side against ourselves and for God. Attempting to justify sin is an attempt to remove accountability to God, but our sin is always against God. You know, so many are pretty good at justifying their sin. Have you ever had somebody apologize to you, and then they say, but. You know, there should be no buts. Well, you know what? You know, I'm sorry for what I did, but if you didn't do that, you provoked me, and that's why I did what I did. You know what? Just because they provoked you doesn't give you a right for bad behavior. Our sin is against God. David said in verse 3, my sin is ever before me. Now, I hope you make it personal when you realize what you have done and you say, my sin. Because if you're going to blame it on somebody else, it ain't cutting it. All of us, you know, think about what David could have done. Well, God, you know what? If Bathsheba wasn't bathing herself like that, you know, and it's really not my fault. Right? You see how that works? You see how we do things? Now, is that right? Not at all. He said, my sin is ever before me. Now, sin is something that we must all deal with. You know, when you got saved, what a wonderful day that was. But you know what? We're saved by grace through faith, are we not? Now think about this. We're still sinning saints, though, aren't we? All we are is forgiven people. And praise the Lord for that. Now, we're not sinless, but I think when the grace of God comes into your life and starts working in you and the Holy Spirit's in there, and you know what? You ought to be sinning less than you used to. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, it describes the sinfulness of mankind. Now, man was created by God. We didn't come out of some slimy pond as an amoeba. And then we were placed in a beautiful garden eastward in Eden. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 7 tells us this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now who was the serpent? Right. And he said unto the woman. Now why do you think he said unto the woman? Why didn't he approach Adam? She was more susceptible, wasn't she? And you know what? She was the one that's supposed to be insubmissive to the husband. You know, how many things may have turned out a little bit differently and she would have said, well, let me ask my husband. Huh? Goes on to say, and I'm not saying Adam, you know, would have done any different, but it could have. He was the head of the home. She wasn't. Have things changed since then? No, the Word of God still remains the same. The husband's supposed to be in charge. And it would be good for the wives to ask their husband permission once in a while instead of going off and doing their own thing. That's, yeah, that's maybe not how you're looking at me, but some of you got that right there. Now notice what he says. He says, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. No, he did say. Right. He's trying to cause doubt on what God had told them. Yea, hath God said. And you know what? We got a bunch of yea, hath God said Bibles today, and they're not correct. Right. And the devil's behind misinterpreting all those scriptures. He's been doing it ever since the Garden of Eden. No wonder Jesus said, beware the scribes. Because you know what? Some of them are not recording the Word of God properly. Amen. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what he said? No. And the woman said unto the serpent, now notice this. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Now, is that what God said? No. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. So the devil's trying to distort what God said. And you know what, Eve? She's adding to what God said. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, did God say if they ate from that tree, they would die?
Yes.
Well, the devil says, you know, that ain't right. He ain't going to kill you for that. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, notice this, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, here's the thing. Some of us will listen to what other people say instead of what God says. Especially these so-called experts. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much expertise they got. You know what an expert is? It's a former drip. Yeah. You know what? They don't know more than God. And here's another thing. Neither do you. You shall be as God. Oh. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now she didn't need to look that direction, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did what? In direct violation of what God said. And gave also unto her husband, Mr. Milk Toast, Mr. String for a Spine at this time. What should have he done? He was there. Why didn't he say something? He's just like some guys I know. Their wives don't do anything wrong either. They hide behind her skirt all the time. Well, my wife said, oh, well, that's, you can take that as gospel. Right? Don't question them. Because after all, that's going to be a conflict brewing then. Okay, let's go on. Got pretty quiet in here, didn't you know that? Yeah. And gave also unto her husband with her. Now that blows my mind. It goes on and said, and he did what? Well, if she's going to do it, I'm going to do it. That makes sense, doesn't it? Why doesn't somebody do right? Will God hold us each accountable for our own actions? Yes. You don't have to follow somebody else to do wrong. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were what? They didn't know that before. Something changed, didn't it? And they sewed fig leaves together. Oh, what a nice couple. Couple of seamstresses here. And made themselves what? Aprons. Now, Adam and Eve sinned against God. Now, does the Bible tell us what kind of fruit it was? No. You know, how many people have ever heard they ate the apple, right? Yeah. Well, you know what? It wasn't, we don't know if it was an apple, but we do know it was the pear on the ground. Now, listen. Eve was deceived by the devil. Okay? Adam saw what it did to his wife, and he chose to die with her rather than to live without her. Now, who was he created for? Who was he supposed to please? Someone may ask, well, what's so horrible about eating fruit that was forbidden? Okay, goober. It's much more than that. It's about God's crowning creation saying to him, I don't care what you say. I've had people tell me that. I know what the Bible says, but. Good for you. And that's incredible, isn't it? That's what they did, isn't it? Basically saying, doesn't matter what you say, Lord. Doesn't matter what you commanded me. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know who that sounds like? The devil. When you start living your life on your terms and thinking it doesn't matter what God says, you are just like the devil. God ain't going to tell me what to do. Listen, some folks think they know more than God, and they just prove themselves to be fools. And no one should go along with them. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God because of their sin. Sin then entered into the bloodstream of humanity, and now we're all born sinners. We sin because we're sinners. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Basically, we're born into this world still born spiritually. That's why we need to be born again. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5-10, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, I go out soul winning and I run across people all the time living in sin, doing things they shouldn't be doing, and then they want to tell me how tight they are with Jesus. I just look at them and think, you know, I was born at night, but not last night. Don't tell me you're close with Jesus when you're living this way. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all what? Sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our what? Sins. Notice that's plural. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. No, really, we're just lying. God's never a liar. He cannot lie. But we portray that as one of his characteristics then. And his word is what? Now notice the last part of verse 7. Says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all what? Now that's in the singular, is it not? Now, sin in the singular is what we are. We are sinners by birth. Then sins in the plural is what we do. We are all sinners and we all commit sins because we are what? Sinners. Our sinful condition is sin. Our conduct is sins. Sin is an evil gateway. We never commit just one sin. Have you ever noticed some people lie? Right? Now, that's shameful for a Christian to do so. It's an abomination. That's what God says. Now, then you know what they do? When you call it on, then they, what? They find it, they keep lying, right? They find another lie to cover up the first lie, and this thing just keeps steamrolling. They never just tell one lie. And you know what? When you call them on it, why don't you, they just say, you know what? I'm sorry, I lied. But no, they don't. They just keep covering it up. Think how many sins David committed. Right? Did he just commit adultery with Bathsheba? No. First of all, he left his army when he should have been out there leading the fight. He was in a place where he shouldn't have been. Then he commits adultery. Now that he committed the physical act, but there was lust in his heart way before then. And then he lied to Uriah. Then he had him killed. And many other people died all trying to cover up his sin. I mean, he broke just about every one of the Ten Commandments. Now, all sin is against God. Sin is such a serious matter because it's a sin against the Lord. We understand from Scripture that we can sin against our own bodies. We can sin against others. But it all begins with a sin against God. There's a way in which man can sin against his own body. You know, we have this temple, right? How many here are saved? All right. Now, our bodies are called the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Now, we can sin against our bodies, can we not? You say, how do we do that? We can put stuff in it that don't belong there. You say, what things? Well, I'm glad you asked. How about alcohol? How about cigarette smoke? How about drugs? Vaping? Getting inked? I would say even getting pierced all over, looking like you fell into the tackle box. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with some earrings on you women. That's fine. But you know what? There's all kinds of other places. You know, I see guys and women, man, they got them all up on their eyebrows and their cheeks and in their lips and on their nose and, you know, who knows where else. I don't want to know. But they do, don't they? You know, I think God put enough holes in our head. But anyways, you think about that. That's sinning against that temple, don't you think? Sure. And then what about, you know, you sin against another person by saying something you should not say, or failing to be the example that you shouldn't be to another person. Don't parents sin against their own children by not being a godly example before them? Well, that's just too bad. They're accountable to God. Really? You don't think you should be a good example? So next time you wives go off on a hissy fit, think what that's doing to your children. Next time you husbands get upset and start cussing, think what it's doing to your children. Next time you watch that TV program you shouldn't watch, think what it's doing to your children. You aren't being a godly example to them. You know, I find the hypocrisy amongst God's people amazing. You know, you let somebody come into their house and start using some of the vulgar language that they use, and you would be all in a tizzy. But yet you watch it on TV, and it doesn't bother you. I wonder what that's called. I think I already named it. Hypocrisy. And then you wonder why your children use the same language. And you wonder why they come into your house, they show you no respect. It's your fault. Well, that's just how people talk. Not my house. Not my house. I mean, I can't control what goes on over there. And by the way, you don't hear it in this house. You don't hear it in the church house. So why is it going on in your house? Shame on you. But it's a good movie. It won awards. Oh, that makes it all right. That makes it really good. Doesn't it? It won an Academy or a Golden Globe or whatever else award. I'm sure God approves of it now. Sometimes I wonder if we just got any brains between our ears. things. Ah, preacher, you're just harping again. I'll keep on harping. You may say, well, we're both consenting adults. Oh, so if we both do wrong, it's okay. Does that make it right? Well, I'm not hurting anybody else by myself by doing this. Really? Have you forgot there's a God in heaven you're sinning against? Besides, it's not about you anyways. It's about God. And all sin is against God. Before David ever walked on the balcony and looked down on the rooftop and saw Bathsheba bathing there and lusted after, something in his heart was already wrong because he failed to walk with God as he should have. He wasn't where he should have been. I want us to realize the clearer our vision of God, the more sensitive to sin we will be. You know, some people just don't see sin as exceedingly sinful. Now, David temporarily lost sight of God, and he replaced God with those sinful desires that he had. Now, imagine, if you will, there's a child, right? He's about ready to do something his parents told him not to do. And all of a sudden, mom or dad walks into the place where they're at. Now, what do you think he's going to do? Now, if they had any fear of mom and dad or any respect for mom and dad, they would not do it. You know, if your kids come to your house, I don't care how old they are, and they do things that they shouldn't be doing in front of you, they have no honor for you. They have no respect for you. You know, even when I was lost and undone, I'd go to my parents' house. You know what? I behaved. You say, why? Because I knew where my parents stood on things. I didn't want to hurt them. And if your kids are doing things that shouldn't be done in your home, they have no respect for you. That's sad. And you know why they don't have any respect for you? Because of the way you reared them. You didn't correct them when they were young. You didn't live the life you should have before them. Yeah, preacher. Well, nothing. We need to see sin as exceedingly sinful. The closer we draw to God, the more we'll see sin in our life, and the more sensitive we become against sin. Now, or to sin. Isaiah 65, verse 1 through 5 says this. Now, how many think Isaiah was a godly man? I do. Right? Notice what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. Where was he? High and lifted up. He wasn't low. He wasn't on the same level you are. Lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you see that? His holiness was magnified. And at the post of the door was moved with the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. Now, who was that? Isaiah. Now, did he say it before he got a real clear vision of God? No. He probably thought he was doing pretty good. He said, woe is me, for I am what? Undone. Because I'm a man of unclean what? Now, none of us have problems with our tongue, do we? Oh, good. So this really doesn't, this is Old Testament, it doesn't pertain to us. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Uh-oh. You see that? Uh-huh. Now, there's all kinds of other stuff going on, but he says, man, he's talking about the words of people. Goes on to say, midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have what? Seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How many think Isaiah got a new revelation of sin? How many think he realized, you know what? What I say and what others say does affect me, and it is sinful. And maybe I shouldn't be listening to some of that stuff. You know what happens over a period of time? We hear it. Become desensitized. Doesn't bother us anymore. Now that's pretty awful, isn't it? I think so. You know, for a long time, I would approach people when they would say some things. And sometimes I probably still do. Especially when Connie's around. I don't have a problem saying, excuse me, God don't have a last name. I appreciate if you don't say that about, you know, use Jesus' name in that manner. You can ask her for a long time. I'd go, yeah! When people, I'd say, shut your filthy mouth. Some of you can't even do that with your TVs. Yeah. You can't even do it with your TV. I remember one time we were pumping gas. Remember that? In Iowa. I got out of the car. This guy's just cursing up a storm. So what did I do? I said, shut your filthy mouth. And I started pumping gas. And then you know what I felt? I felt these two eyes burning in the side of my head. So I looked over at him. I said, boy, you feel froggy, jump on over here and get you some. He got in his car with his buddy, drove away squealing the tires, and started cussing at me as he drove away. He was a man. But I was like, my wife's not being subjected to this. Some of you, you let them be subjected to that in your own home. Boy, you're a man, aren't you? Come on now! You're a spiritual leader, aren't you? Unclean lips. Maybe that would change our viewing on TV, wouldn't it? The movies we watch. I think so. But some of you are going to just let this roll off your back like water off a duck's back. Because you've been desensitized. You've been listening to far too long. You got a hardened heart. I can take it, preacher. Yeah. And all it did is make you more susceptible to more and more sin. You're not sensitive to it anymore. What you need is a vision of God. Oh, that's good, isn't it? I think so. You know, Jesus is the only sinless one. And we're supposed to be becoming more and more like him, are we not? Are we not? Are we not to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, how about it? You know, that means there's going to have to be some changes made, isn't there? That's right. Changes need to be made. And if we're not willing to make the changes, we're going to be staying in the same rut. We need a fresh vision of God. All right, we'll have some more.